This
is Mythical.
Hey there, hot doggers. We're going to do something a little bit different today. So we're actually going to be introducing you to a brand new podcast that's been out for a couple weeks from a familiar face. It is Trevor Talks Too Much, hosted by Mythical Kitchen's own Trevor Everts.
That's right, guys. So the whole point of the podcast is Trevor needs friends his own age. And he interviews people from, you know, TikTok, influencers, YouTube, all over the place.
We're simply too old for him. We don't get his references. He doesn't get our references. And so, yeah, we started pairing him up with other people.
Yeah, he has some great people like Morgan Drinks Coffee, Myth, and the most recent one is one with Alex Warren, where he talks about some very, very interesting things.
Yeah, and so you can actually hear some of those interesting things they talked about. We're actually going to be plugging in a large chunk of his episode in there that we thought was really interesting and we thought you might want to hear about, because frankly, it's cool to hear other perspectives, especially on food. Alex talks about the future of food and like all the different diets that he's tried, which to me
That's
is really
true.
Fascinating as someone who's been on like every diet
sure.
in the world.
Same. Yeah, I just think it's an interesting perspective. And it's kind of cool. They become fast friends, which I think is sweet. It's kind of like how you and I became fast friends.
Yeah, it's interesting to see that dynamic play out with other people. You know, we're out there. Yeah. We're rooting for Trevor. We're rooting for Alex.
Yeah.
You'll see their friendship and their dynamic really explode on the screen that you listen to with your ears.
Yeah, I've always told Trevor, like, after the podcast, you know, get their number, get their contact info, like, make this a friendship that'll last.
So yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hope he does that with Alex and all his other guests, too.
That way he can, like, stop hitting me up every week and be like, hey, man,
hey,
want to go
doing?
To Shabu Shabu? And I'm like, listen, I don't.
Yeah, he does that with
me,
too.
Love, you know, it's cool. Anyway, so enjoy this clip of the episode of Trevor Talks Too Much with Alex Warren. We'll see y'all not now.
Do you think time travel will, because I think about this a lot, do you think time travel will ever be invented in our lifespan? And I don't think so for this near fact. If time travel had been invented from the time I am here to the time I die, I feel like I'd run into myself.
Yeah.
I think about it for a second. Old me would, or older me would come and see me now, and I'd be like, okay, I know time travel exists. But like that scares me that I don't think time travel exists because I haven't seen myself, unless it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. I think that that might be an argument for why time travel might never get invented. You know what I mean?
Like,
will it ever be a thing? Because if it has been invented at some point in the future, wouldn't we have already seen evidence of that in some way?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, wouldn't maybe there is evidence of it. Maybe we just don't know there's evidence of it because
maybe they're
movies,
so good at it.
They're really good at it and they, you know, stay on the down low and don't screw everything up. But I don't know. It's something that.
What if they fuck up and then time travel back to fix the fuck up too?
Dude, I don't know. Okay. There's too many layers here. I hope it does, but I think you're right. I don't think it'll be invented in our time. I mean, we don't even have we barely have self-driving cars.
Like, I know, but listen to ourselves. Like 30 years ago, they just, or like 60 years ago, they had just invented like half. Wasn't the phone created in, like the smartphone created in 2001, 2003?
Yeah, something like that.
But yeah, first iPhone was invented in 2003. Now it has facial recognition, fingerprint scanning, and you can pay for things off of your phone.
Yeah. Okay, but like what would be
I have a watch that I can pay for shit. I literally slap my watch onto a goddamn screen and all of a sudden money is exiting my bank account.
It's true. But I mean that feels like a very small step in comparison to literally traveling through time.
You know what? And I'll give you that. I think we should send letters through time first.
Yeah. What do you think would be the method? Because it's kind of always different in movies. Like sometimes, you travel through a wormhole, and then other times it's a machine that for some reason works and can send you back through time. Do you think it would be more of like a space thing? Like something happens in space and people get sent through time?
I feel like that's an Elon Musk question. I feel like it'd be like, I don't know. I feel like it definitely be moon rocks or something. Not moon rocks, but like something you find in space.
Yeah.
Cause think about it. Space is so fucking massive and we don't know anything about it. And it's like, I feel like if time travel was to exist, they like went up there, they grabbed some like weird shit and they bring it back and somehow they make something out of it. I don't know how half the things in life happen. Like, to be honest, it's crazy. I don't think any time travel will ever happen until we have every single McDonald's ice cream machine working again.
Yeah.
But that'll happen completely after time travel, in my opinion.
they'll invent time travel to fix the ice cream machines.
That's what I'm thinking.
The day that time travel's invented, the McDonald's is going to get a hold of it and they're gonna be like, go back in time, fix all the ice cream machines so that we can start profiting. So on the day that all the ice cream machines are fixed, that's when we'll know. We'll be like, well, whoever is the CEO of McDonald's, they must have figured out time travel because of how much money they've been losing on ice cream over the years.
Exactly.
I mean, hey.
They're actually not broken, and they just, there's been many employees that have admitted they just don't want to clean them.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's fair, though. I've had to clean ice cream machines before, and it sucks. It's not a fun task. Not at all. So,
I mean. That's crazy. That's crazy.
The conspiracy thickens. Thanks, Jamie. Now I'm going to be thinking about it all day.
Yeah, now I'm gonna be upset when a McDonald's worker's like, it's not broken. I'm like, I'll clean it myself to get a McFlurry.
Oh, now I want ice cream. I got a vanilla Frosty from Wendy's last night because I got a chocolate Frosty from Wendy's like a couple weeks ago. And I was kind of wanted to do a little test. I was like, okay, which one do I like more? And the chocolate is far superior.
Really? I'm lactose intolerant, so I haven't tried a lot of things. But when I do get dairy, it's most of the time to tweet more.
Yeah.
No. I genuinely speaking, I am lactose intolerant, but I feel like everyone is a little bit. And for me, it's like I will put up with whatever I have to endure just to have a nice time.
Yeah,
you know, eating something.
Yeah. Are you a lactate enjoyer? Do you take lactate?
No, I think if you're gonna send it, you just send it. I don't think you need. Yeah.
My dad had a friend who was gluten intolerant, and he would do this thing where like every couple months he would just have his day where he just ruined his body. So he'd order like an entire pizza, just eat a crap ton of gluten. Like he was seriously gluten intolerant. Like, and he would just for the next like 3 days afterward, just be shitting his brains out. Just unloading.
That's like a natural weight loss too. Yeah. Like who needs the gym when you're lactose intolerant and have access to Dairy Queen?
I was like, I kind of wish I was intolerant because I don't really have any allergies or anything like that. But sometimes part of me wishes I could experience something that way where it's like, I love this thing so much that I'm willing to put myself through immense pain and torture in the bowels just to enjoy it. Like I don't feel like I could ever have that much love for something because I don't have, and maybe that's, you know, insensitive.
Maybe you just haven't lived. How old are you?
22.
Yeah, I'm 21. Yeah. So I think there's much more life we can live and much more toilet breaks we can take.
Yeah, for sure. This number two shall pass. I saw that in the office bathroom.
This entire podcast is going to be about pooping.
Yeah, I'm not against it. It's kind of a theme. I like to talk about pooping.
I know.
It's a great thing to talk about. I think it should be normalized.
Your producer's going to be like, okay, so Trevor and Alex talk too much.
Yeah, Trevor and Alex talk too much, and then in parentheses, about poop.
That's the name of the episode.
Yeah, that's the title of the episode.
Well, I love it.
To move past pooping, karaoke, the obvious next jumping point. I have it in here, my fact sheet that Jamie wrote for me, that your go-to karaoke song is The Climb by Miley Cyrus.
Oh, it's the best karaoke song in the world. I haven't had the fortunate experience to, you know, do a lot of karaoke. My roommate Michael has this massive fascination with karaoke, something that I don't know. I think there's his thumb. I haven't really had the pleasure of kind of having a good karaoke experience. I'm very stage fright, which is something funny for a musician to say, but my goal is to evidently get more comfortable singing in front of people and in front of big groups and kind of being able to shine in The Climb and make Miley proud.
Yeah, for sure. I'm the same way. I have always I did theater and stuff and choir in high school, even though I've gotten a lot more confident since then and I feel like I wouldn't have stage fright. But I don't know. I turned 21 during the pandemic, like during the first year of the pandemic, and most karaoke places in LA, I feel like the good ones at least are like 21 and over. And so I haven't ever been able to really do karaoke other than like stuff with my friends where, you know, you're at a friend's place, but I haven't like been able to go out to like a karaoke bar or anything like that. And I still don't do karaoke.
I still haven't done karaoke with my friends. That's how bad my stage fright is.
Oh no. You can get over,
which is funny because I've done a concert and I've done all this stuff, and like getting on a stage, once you're on the stage, it's something different.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever been like on a stage in front of people, but it's almost as if it all goes away. Like when you get on there, it's like nothing else matters. And you see the people and they're like, I don't know. It's such a surreal feeling that I feel like everyone at one day should just like talk in front of a big crowd or do something like that. it's a weird feeling.
Yeah. I mean, even doing videos for like Mythical Kitchen, it was something that I hadn't really ever done before. And I feel like I just black out when I get up and get on camera. Like, I don't remember anything that I say or do at all. You ask me afterward about anything and I'm just like, I don't know. I just go up there and I, you know, put on whatever state, like I'm being myself. I'm not playing a character, but to some degree I am being more of myself. And I just do it. And then I forget about it. And they make a video and I'll watch it and be like, oh, that's pretty funny. That was a good joke. Nice line, Trevor.
I watch all my podcasts back. I'm like, I don't remember saying that, but good shit, dude.
In one ear, out the other. But it's like my voice. I remember the first time I had a solo in high school in choir. It was we were doing the Lion King medley. And it was from Can You Feel the Love Tonight? And it was like Simba's little solo. I can't sing it, but I remember doing
Attaboy,
that.
Trev.
Yeah, it was like the first time. I remember, like, you know, we're all up on the risers and then I like walked down to the microphone and I don't remember it. I don't even know if it was good. I don't know if anyone was recording it. I don't want to see it, but that was like the first time that I'd ever done something like solo in front of a group of people. And yeah, it was scary beforehand, but then after I did it, I was like, I don't even remember. I think it was good, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I black out too.
Yeah. But like now that I'm old enough, I can drink. So like super easy to like do karaoke.
It's now you're willingly forgetting it.
Yeah, I'm willingly forgetting it. And also like there's no stage fright. I'm trying to think of karaoke songs that I feel like I have a ton in my back pocket that I've been wanting to do. What is Never by Moving Pictures? Song from the original Footloose movie, and also is in Hot Rod, which is one of my favorite movies.
Wow.
But it's the, you've seen Hot Rod, Andy Samberg? You haven't. I need a minute, Jamie. I need a minute. I got to take a break.
I'm looking it up right now. Hot Rod?
Yeah. Andy Samberg, Jerma?
No, yeah, I've never seen it.
Who's the other guy? Who's the little one? Not the little one. Who's the shorter guy in The Lonely Island?
There's Andy Samberg, Bill Hader, Jerma Taccone plays Kevin Powell.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. And Bill Hader.
And Isla Fisher.
Isla Fisher.
That's a stacked fucking cast list, dude.
One more. What's his name?
Danny McBride.
Rico. Danny McBride. So funny. It's such a great movie. Oh, it's also got Will Arnett, who plays like the D-bag boyfriend of Isla Fisher. That's a flavor. Dude, that's a reference to a movie.
Speaking of famous people, or at least like just cast members, I ran into Will Ferrell yesterday.
Really? Where?
Yeah, dude, I got done shooting my podcast and as I'm driving home, I'm sitting at a red light and my roommate looks to me and he goes, "Is that Will Ferrell?" And I sat there and I'm like, "What did you just say?" And I look to my left, and I just see Will Ferrell in a Tesla Model X, just symmetrical to me. Yeah. Where I'm like, there's no way. There's no way. Freaking Ferrell is directly next to me. And I just roll down my window. He has his windows already rolled down. And he just looks at me and I go, "I love you." And then I drive away. And the problem is I was freaking out so much that I look Will Ferrell straight in the eyes and we're probably 5 feet away from each other. And I just go, "I love you." And then I immediately, as I say that, I drive away, not realizing it's a red light. And I almost get in a car accident right in front of Will Ferrell.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What? Yeah,
that's my life.
That's so crazy. Wait, so you live in LA, right?
I do. I live in Tarzana.
Okay, awesome. I live in Burbank.
Yeah. I'm right like on the cusp of Encino.
Yeah, that is so crazy. I wonder what he was doing. You think? Where do you think he was going home from, or do you think he was going out?
I honestly, I don't know, dude.
What's Will Ferrell up to these days?
He's being a multi-millionaire.
Yeah,
this guy's.
I assume he's still like doing stuff. You know,
Will freaking Ferrell.
That is so funny. You just said, "I love you," and then drove away through a red light.
It wasn't even, "I love you," though. It was, "I love you." Like it was like a whisper.
Yeah.
As if like, and I will never forget this. Will Ferrell looks at me and goes,
That's the most Will Ferrell thing.
He gives me the side smirk, like, as he's looking straight on. He looks at me and goes, and just nods his head with a little smirk. Oh, there's no words or anything. He's like, I know you love me.
Yeah. That is so great. I can't say I'd do anything different, though, in that situation. I mean,
I wish I didn't run the red light and had a conversation with him.
Yeah.
But then it probably saved me from he probably would have rolled his windows up, honestly.
Yeah. That would have been pretty heartbreaking.
You've got a brunette guy with a ginger beard telling you that he loves you. It's like, I'm reenacting Step Brothers. Yeah.
You know? Oh, so what's your favorite Will Ferrell movie? Is it Step Brothers?
Step Brothers. Okay. Yeah. Step Brothers perfectly depicts my two friends that I live with. I live with five people in total.
Yeah.
But two of my friends I grew up with, their name's Calvin and Pat, and they quite literally are the human embodiment, like the real person embodiment of Step Brothers.
Yeah.
They're just like, they have, they like the argument, did like, did you touch my drum set? Stuff like that is quite, I've heard them have identical arguments just like that in real life. And it's like, there's no way you're real. Like, there's no way you're real. And it's just, they both think they're smarter than each other. They both go at each other. And at the end of the day, they're arguing about like the dumbest things in the world. And I'm like, you guys are both the same.
I think my favorite Will Ferrell movie, definitely for me, I know it's The Other Guys.
That's a great movie as well.
Underappreciated, I think. Underappreciated, but I genuinely, it's my, one of my dad and I's favorite movies. Like, we can both just quote every line, and it's just so funny to me. Like, just Gator needs his gat, you punk ass bitch. Like, just the fact that Will Ferrell plays this like uptight, like forensic accountant, and then he just happened to be a pimp in his past life and is married to Eva Mendes. It's such a great movie.
Ron Burgundy. Ron Burgundy.
Yeah. Anchorman. Great movie. That's Jamie's favorite. Jamie, you can speak. You can say it.
I don't want to always interrupt. I'm trying to
go for
your opinion.
No, Anchorman is the best. I actually have a great story about this, because when it came out, I think it came out in 2004.
Yeah.
So I was... What?
Is it really that old?
Yeah, it came out
really?
The same.
Anchorman?
I believe it came out the same year as Mean Girls. I could be wrong.
What?
We're all looking it up right now.
Wow! Wow!
Oh my!
Really?
God. I was 4 years old.
So I
was four.
So in 2004, I was in middle school, and we went to see this movie as a family.
Yeah.
And my mom is sitting there, and all of these jokes are happening, and she's looking at me because I'm like 11 years old. And she's like, oh man, I should not have brought you to this. She was so upset at herself, and she's like, I think we should leave. I was like, I'm here. We're watching it.
We're staying. That's like a timeless movie. I didn't realize it was from 2004. That's crazy.
I didn't even know. I'm looking this up too. Will Ferrell was in The Office.
Yeah. Yeah. He, what's his name?
Devontae or something.
No, no, don't look it up. I'm going to get there. I'm going to be angry if I didn't.
I'll tell you. I know it.
Okay. No, I need to get there. Okay. We can talk about
it. I'll tell you the last name.
Okay.
Vickers.
D'Angelo Vickers. God, I'm so mad. No, he was, a lot of people give him grief. A lot of people give that part of The Office grief.
Right.
It was as good as of a transition as you could have got. Because if you just went straight into having Dwight or having Andy or someone else replace him, it would have felt weird. And I think that having those really weird five episodes with Will Ferrell as D'Angelo Vickers.
I liked it.
And when he's like has the headphones on and he's presenting at the Dundee, he's like, thank you everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. And he's just like yelling into the microphone. I feel like that's me when I do the podcast and I don't know what to say. I just start yelling into the microphone.
Same.
Yeah. Yelling's funny. You know, anytime you don't know what to say, you just yell something.
I mean, Kevin Hart's built a whole brand off of it.
Yeah. He's built a whole brand off of yelling and also antagonizing The Rock.
Yes.
That's just like what Kevin Hart's known for. And it's so funny.
Right.
He's doing a great job. Just the way that he roasts The Rock in everything that he does, it's perfect. Because, you know, Dwayne needs to be knocked down a few pegs. I love The Rock.
For sure.
But I think that, you know, he needs the Kevin Hart in his life to keep him humble.
The big man, small man dynamic works.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like The Rock owning like a what's it called? A Pomeranian.
Yeah. Yeah. It just works.
I can see it.
We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. From Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans, they've got you covered.
Heck yeah, they do. Their products come in a variety of amazing colors, from classic black and white to pinks, greens, yellows, and blues. And the best part, Nicole, everything's non-toxic.
Josh, I've been in the market for a kettle for months.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about it a weird amount.
Yeah, I've bought like a bunch, returned a bunch, but I just got my hands on the Great Jones Fellow Kettle collab, and I got it in the color broccoli, and I'm so excited to make artisanal teas and coffees. I'm trying to get on my coffee game right now, and I'm so excited to use a gooseneck kettle. You have no idea.
I'm excited to use their yellow hot dish, aka casserole dish. Shout out to Minnesota and Fargo, North Dakota. I'm at that point in my life where I'm like, I'm an adult, I should have nice vessels to serve food out of.
Sure, fair.
Instead of just serving it on like stainless steel restaurant style things. And I like it. It's cute, it's got a good design, bakes really well, holds heat. I'm in, baby. And once you try Great Jones, you'll want to share it with friends. They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays, it's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life.
So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code SANDWICH. That's greatjones.com, promo code SANDWICH.
Let's talk food. I'm a food guy. You like food?
I've gone keto. I've been vegan. I've gone vegetarian. I've kind of done everything.
Okay. I was vegan for a minute. I wasn't good at it. I'll tell you what.
Oh, really?
I ate a lot of Oreos and a lot of Lay's potato chips.
Oh, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I've gone through weights, dude. I've been fat. I've been skinny. I've been medium build. I've been everything to the point where I kind of like understand my body and what it can and can't take. My body loves French fries. Yeah. I'm sorry. I love French fries. My body does. So it's like something where it's like, I just started working out for the first time 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Like I haven't worked out ever in my entire life. I used to just diet. And like all I would do is keto diet. I'd lose weight really quick. Like I'd lose like 45 pounds in 2 months.
Yeah.
Kind of just, you know, be able to like, you know, live off that for a little bit and then go back to, you know, my normal weight and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But no, what's your favorite food? What do you like to eat?
Oh God. I have like one of the unhealthiest relationships with food because of my job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge fan of ramen. I'm just going to tell you like my go-tos. Like if I'm going out with my girlfriend and we want to eat food, we love ramen. We love Korean barbecue just because Korean barbecue in LA is unbeatable. I'm huge pasta fan, but I tend to make a lot more pasta. I feel like I don't really go to Italian restaurants as often. I like to make pasta. Shabu shabu is really good. Trying to think of other things. I don't know. I love all kinds of food.
You like how I taped over my water bottle so we didn't do any free promo?
That's huge, bro. That's huge. Big. Thank you for doing that. No free clout for Crystal Geyser. I just gave him free clout.
We're very similar. My girlfriend grew up in Hawaii, so it's something where we do a lot of rice foods.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like she'll make homemade Hawaiian like spam musubis and poke and stuff like that. And, you know, we love this sushi place down the street called Kopan, and they have this something called a golden tiger roll, and we're obsessed with it. And we go to Kopan probably like three times a week, and it's
nice. It's
something that I can accredit my belly for.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's great. Korean barbecue, she's obsessed with, though. That's I feel like every girl in LA loves Korean barbecue.
Yeah. Yeah, Korean barbecue is so good. We actually, one of my favorite Korean barbecue places, it's called Agassi, and it's in Koreatown. The manager there apparently is a fan of The Mythical Kitchen. And so I was in there one time with my grandpa and my girlfriend, and the manager like recognized us. And so now we have like the hookup at this Korean barbecue place. I got my homie Alan. Alan is like a server there, and he's like the coolest dude. So anytime I want to go, I just hit up Alan. I'm like, hey, I want to come by. And he hooks it up because it's always got like a super huge weight. So that's my little humble brag for the Los Angeles Korean barbecue scene is that I know
that's awesome.
The manager is a fan of Mythical Kitchen at Agassi.
I wish Koreatown was closer to me.
I know. That's the one hard part is that you got to drive a ways. I'm a big sweets guy. I actually have this tattoo on my arm
I'm
bending my arm weirdly. It's milk and cookies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But, so I'm a big fan. I have like this really good chocolate chip cookie recipe, and it's just like one of those things that was like a comfort food for me to make. Like anytime I'm feeling down or I just want to lose myself in the dough.
All right. So when you make chocolate chip cookies, do you like them crispy or do you like them soft?
I lean soft, but I think there's a perfect way to bake a chocolate chip cookie that you can get it like fudgy and like soft in the middle, and you can have that like melty gooey inside, but also have a satisfying crust on the outside so that it's not just falling apart.
So do you like it right out of the oven, or do you like it the next day when it's cold?
Right out of the oven. Oh, you're a cold enjoyer.
So I'm the type of guy, I'm really funny about that. I enjoy food the next day.
Yeah.
I enjoy food, leftover food, yeah, more than I actually enjoy it when I get it. So like cookies, if my girlfriend loves making cookies, I'll put it in the fridge and like I'll wait until that bitch is cold. and then like if I get pizza, I won't eat the pizza till the next day after it's fridge. And it's like, yeah, cold pizza is better than normal pizza.
I
agree.
A wise man once said, if a pizza isn't good cold, then you shouldn't be eating it warm.
Exactly. I don't know. There's just something about next day pizza. I don't heat it up. I don't do any of that. I just take it out of the fridge and I eat it.
Cookies for me, I would say it's less about the temperature for me and more about the texture. Because I do like good, but I like soft cookies that are cold. I really enjoy that. I don't mind it. I'm not a fan of like crunchy cookies. Like if I bite into a cookie and then it feels like it crunches into my mouth and there's no soft in the middle, then I'm going to be very, very upset. Unless it's like an Oreo, but that doesn't really count.
Hey, Oreos are vegan. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Trust me, I know. I eat a lot of Oreos.
That's crazy.
What's your favorite varietal of Oreo?
Oh, I've had the red velvet Oreos. Those are so good.
I'm not a huge red velvet fan.
I'm a red velvet guy. I'm a German chocolate cake red velvet guy. Mm-hmm. But my girlfriend's been doing this thing where she has a bunch of food sent to her that's exotic. And I had a cinnamon bun Oreo that is probably the best Oreo I've ever had.
What?
They're cinnamon bun Oreos. They're insane.
Dude, you don't understand the, like, for me, a cinnamon roll.
Oh, they sell them on Amazon now.
What?
Yeah, they sell the cinnamon bun Oreos on Amazon.
So can you like send me the link?
Yes, I will.
Oh my God, that sounds so good.
Dude, they're so good. It's insane.
There's something about cinnamon. I don't know. I love cinnamon things. Cinnamon rolls, one of my favorite things ever. But yeah, I'll go to Cinnabon. I'll Postmates Cinnabon to my home and I will get a normal Cinnabon. And then I will also get the small bite Cinnabons to have later.
Right.
I'll get both of them. But then I usually just end up eating it all right there, playing video games. And I'm like, oh, there's Cinnabons right next to my desk. I think I want to eat them. And I have no self-control.
Do you just have a fast metabolism or what is it?
Yeah, I think part of it is I have a fast metabolism. And part of it is like I don't eat. If that makes sense. This is going back to my unhealthy relationship with food. But like I really struggle with eating food at home. Like, I don't know what it is about cooking all day. And maybe it's some of the like stress that I associate with my job that it's hard for me. Like, it's hard for me to go grocery shopping. Like, I find that when I go to the grocery store, it's like an undertaking because
I hate going to the grocery store.
So I don't like cooking for myself at home. It stresses me out to cook at home. So like, a lot of the times I'll be cooking all day at work. We'll have like, I'll eat food at work. I'll eat whatever we make. I'll have snacks. And then I just go home and I don't eat. And it's pretty unhealthy. And like, I should eat more, but I just find that I don't get hungry sometimes.
I understand that. I have something called body dysmorphia. So it's like, it's definitely something where it's like, I don't understand sometimes what I'm doing to my body.
Yeah, no, I get that 100%. And I've gone through phases like where I will eat a lot. I'll overeat where I'm just like I am constantly hungry and I'm overeating. And then I'll go through phases where I'll go an entire day without eating and not even feel hungry. Like I just don't ever have the desire to eat. And
that's more like me.
Yeah.
Like I just won't eat. Like I kind of just like, I'll wake up one morning and I'll feel gross. Then I'm like, oh, like, and I feel like that just stays in my head or something. Cause then I'm like, I'm not that hungry. Then. And then I realize it's like 6 PM. I'm done with a full work day and I get home and I'm ready to lay on the couch and everyone's like, oh, let's go out to dinner. And I'm like, I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Food is weird, man. I feel like everybody has some sort of weird relationship with it in some way.
And right.
It's hard to figure it out, but, you know, we're all doing our best.
I feel that. I feel that 100%.
I asked you, we started talking about food. I wanted to ask you why Thin Mints are your favorite Girl Scout cookie.
Why?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just grew up on only liking Thin Mints. I think, honest to God, I grew up hating coconut, and a lot of the two favorites, I love coconut now. Like, I'm obsessed with German chocolate cake. But I've always put candy, chocolate, and Girl Scout cookies in the freezer.
Yeah.
And I only like them in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone would always eat the Samoas, and everyone would always eat the other things. And I would only eat the Thin Mints because no one else liked them but me and my family. So, like, I just grew accustomed to it. It's like a nostalgic thing for me now. And every time I see that, you know, this year Girl Scout cookies were online, they weren't going door to door anymore due to COVID, I think it was. So I quite literally, I'm in, you know, a great position now where I make a good amount of money, and I'm very happy with the success I've been able to have. And that's why I bought $1,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies.
The dream.
I don't think I'll ever eat them, but I do live with a bunch of over 21-year-old adults who partake in different type of things that may make them hungry later in the night.
Yeah.
And so I've noticed that a lot of those boxes have gone.
Nice.
Gone away.
See, you're just a thoughtful guy.
That's what I was thinking. It's not that I have a problem or anything. It's not like I thoroughly enjoy Girl Scout cookies. It's more of the lines of, you know, being the friend I am, I wanted to just look out for my friends and their munchies.
Yeah, that's really big of you. That's really big.
I know. We don't all wear capes.
Yeah. Not all heroes wear capes. Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Exactly.
I had some friends that did the freezer Thin Mint thing, and they really loved it. But I don't know. I could just never get behind Thin Mints that much. They're not bad.
No.
I don't know. I just love peanut butter and chocolate. Reese's is one of my favorite candies. So,
do you like sour candy more?
There's a time and a place. I think for me, okay, let me explain it here. I need both.
You know what my issue is?
What?
Is when I think it comes down to like the body thing of mine, but whenever I ate chocolate or anything kind of like cookie-wise or something out of the gas station type of vibe, it made me feel gross. It made me feel like maybe it's the lactose intolerant, maybe it's the my body appearance that I had an issue with back in the day, but something with me is every time I ate it, I just felt bigger. Yeah. Like, I felt like maybe it was the lactose intolerant part of it.
Yeah.
But when I ate sour candy, it was something where I felt good. Like, I felt kind of like, keep in mind, I'm eating unhealthy. I'm not feeling good, but I definitely didn't feel like that way. Yeah. And plus, now I'm just a fanatic for sour candy.
There's a candy shop in Burbank that's like right next to the movie theater, the AMC, one of three AMCs in downtown Burbank. That sells like those sour belt candies. And I swear I get them like before every movie I go see because they're just so good.
I miss that. Every time I go to a movie, I'm keto. Like, I don't know what it is like when I plan my keto, because I do ketos, like the keto diet pretty regularly.
Yeah.
And when I start the keto diet, it's like 3 days in, I randomly go to the movies. And it's like, I don't know, maybe it's like somehow it happens, but it's a sign that I shouldn't be doing it.
I always have to snack when I'm at the movies. Right. I remember one time we had dinner and I think I just got like a Diet Coke and that's it. I didn't get any popcorn.
Do you drink normal soda?
No, I only drink
Diet Coke. You only do Diet Soda?
Yeah. My man. Diet Coke and Diet Dr. Pepper. Those are I drink those every single day.
Normal soda's too syrupy. It tastes way too much. It overtakes. It's too many calories when you could be using that on like candy and other stuff like that. And I'm just that it tastes like a nice flavored sparkling water, where like soda, it's overpowering. It makes you feel gross if you have too many of them, and it's too syrupy.
Yeah. And like, I don't care. There are so many things in the world that could give me cancer. Like, aspartame it's not something I'm going to worry about. Cause you know what? There's so much other stuff. There's fluoride in the water. They're turning the freaking frogs gay. And that was a little Alex Jones reference. He's insane. But like, there's so many things in the world that are bad for you. Why are we getting hung up on artificial sweeteners in diet soda?
I once watched my friend eat 15,000 calories for a YouTube challenge, and then they had the audacity to look at me drinking a Diet Coke and being like, Diet Coke could kill you. I'm like, you look like a prime agent for diabetes from that.
Oh, God. That is so many calories.
You know, we have diet pills and we have stuff to kind of like make your body like lose weight and burn calories without actually working out. I feel like over time they're going to make food that is able to do replicate that same thing where, like, you know, you eat a donut, but this donut is like genetically modified to, like, when you eat that donut, you'll actually lose weight or it'll be good for you.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we're getting to that point in life where, like, they'll start making that type of food.
Definitely. I feel like they're probably already doing it. I feel like it's already almost a thing, you know? I mean, you've got all of these, like, diet companies that, and, like, different, like, healthy, like, a lot of people are, you know, going vegan, going vegetarian. A lot of people are being more health conscious. And I feel like it's already a thing where people have spent so much time, like, kind of workshopping ways to make healthy foods that are as close as possible to the junk food flavor. And I think we're just getting, you know, every day is another step in that direction. Cause I mean, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, all of the, like, healthy food, whatever that was supposed to taste like junk food, is all terrible. It was just awful garbage. It didn't taste sweet at all.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, every day people are getting closer and closer to replicating that. I feel like one day there's going to be just like a, it's going to be like a brick. It's just going to be like a cube, and people are going to be like, this is your food cube, and you eat it. And then it's like all of your nutrition for the day. I don't know. I feel like we're heading towards that. We're just steamrolling.
I'm down.
You're just
I'm down for a food cube.
Your single food cube. It's got all the nutrients, everything that you need, all the vitamins, and you just eat that one cube.
And you choose a flavor, and it tastes exactly like that. Like,
yeah.
I want to, like, you want a Costco pizza flavored one?
Yeah.
Or if you want to, that's kind of cool. I'd be down with that.
We're going to be, it's like some shit out of the Jetsons. We're just going to press a button on a machine. It's like mac and cheese, and then it's just a cube. And you pop it in your mouth and it tastes like mac and cheese.
I'm down.
That's the future I want to live in.
Yeah.
I don't know, actually. That would, like, ruin my whole career. That was the future we went for. Never mind.
That's like me. That's like me going, oh, I wish a robot could just do all the singing for us.
I know. Never mind. Scientists, stop right now.
Okay, if you want to listen to the rest of Trevor Talks Too Much, follow on anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, coolpodcastsicanfind.com. I don't know if that exists.
That definitely exists. Yeah, you can listen to the rest of the Alex Warren episode. I mean, mm-hmm. they go into so much more from, like, his skateboarding career.
Yeah, it's kind of cute. Vlog.
It's so cute. It's so cute. There's tons of other cute episodes out there. A personal fave of mine was the one with Brittany Broski.
Oh, yeah. We love Brittany Broski.
Even though we got a bone to pick with her because she copied our video. Oh. Drama alert.
Oh, no. Just deal with that later, Josh.
Yeah, dude, there's like four ideas left that haven't been made on YouTube, and everyone's making them as we speak.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, go follow. We're huge fans of Trevor. Mm-hmm. It's really an incredible podcast. You get a lot of perspectives that you're not getting from Nicole and I,
mm-hmm,
especially because we're old now. Nicole's 35.
Oh my gosh, I just turned 29.
Lame. Trevor Talks Too Much on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Correct.